Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Defense!
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College Football Today.
When you think of rivalries, you think of Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas. But we are set for Army-Navy today, guys. Great rivalry. Welcome to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Guys, Heisman Trophy Saturday, Army-Navy. I'm chomping at the bit for this coming Saturday. I mean, this is what college football is all about. It oozes tradition and pageantry.
It's a brief interlude before we start playing bowl games next weekend, right? We'll kick off the first couple of bowl games on Saturday, December the 15th. But before then, we do get Army-Navy. We get some FCS playoffs. We have the Heisman Trophy at night. And over the next couple of hours, we'll obviously be discussing the playoff matchups as well.
Marshall, for players that are in New York, Tua Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, and we see Dwayne Haskins, what is going through these players' minds right now in terms of, you know, possibly hoisting the hardware later today?
You just want to hear your name called. And in all due respect, I got the opportunity to come here to New York for the Heisman on two separate occasions. It should have been three, but they weren't inviting freshmen then. But it was, it's just you get a chance to come here. You get a chance to meet the other guys. You meet all the past Heisman winners. You get to meet the board. You spend time with different players and stuff like that. And it's just a great time for you and your family to have that experience. But I'll tell you, it's bitter when you don't win. It's just a bitter feeling when you don't hear your name called, and you're happy for the other guy and you understand. And I think from that point forward, if you do not hear your name called, that chip, it rests on your shoulder the rest of your career. Cause I know it did for me.
It's incredible because a lot of these players went head to head with each other at some point during their career.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray and Tua are going to match up, in the playoff game a little bit later in the month on December 29th in the Orange Bowl. So whichever guy loses the Heisman Trophy, I'm sure will look to step up and want to make a statement in that ballgame.
Well, I think there will be added motivation as well. I mean, you see a little bit of friendly back and forth between Tua and Kyler down in Atlanta at the ESPN Award Show. They handled it very professionally, which I would expect. Two great kids off the field as well. But if this winds up being Kyler Murray, out of maybe not out of nowhere, but a big surprise. A couple of weeks ago, everybody was gift wrapping it for Tua. If it's Kyler Murray, I think that actually bodes poorly for Oklahoma, because not that Alabama or the Alabama defense or Nick Saban need any extra motivation, but if now you could be not just stopping Kyler Murray, but stopping the 2018 Heisman Trophy winner, that's just a little stoking of the fire.
And that becomes kind of the thing. Let's say when you win, you now that team, it's like, okay, we're facing the Heisman Trophy winner. Let's go out there and stop him. It is a little added motivation. And it's rare that the guy that wins the Heisman Trophy goes out and plays well in the bowl game or win. It's just, if you pay attention to it, definitely when it's a quarterback. I don't know why. It just seems to bother quarterbacks when they win and then they have to go out and compete in, say, a big-time bowl game.
A Heisman curse, as it's known. You know, the prima donnas, is that why?
No, they're not quite on the buffet circuit yet. You know, that's something that they have to worry about once you get to January, February, and March leading up to the NFL draft and the combine and so on. But You know, I think this is a different dynamic. Marshall mentioned it. You're spending time in New York City. Your usual routine has been disrupted. And then there is also the added motivation on the other side of the ball. You now have an opportunity. Oh, this guy won the Heisman over our guy. I mean, imagine what Alabama will be talking about if Kyler hoists the trophy tonight.
And that's what's intriguing, because when you look at the 1-4 matchup of Alabama, 14-point favorite over Oklahoma, and you look at the 2-3 matchup of Notre Dame going up against Dabo Sweeney and Trevor Lawrence in both of those matchups, I look at three teams in particular, Oklahoma being the one, the odd man out, as really having to play their type of game. And I have a couple of statistics when you look at it. When you look at that matchup, Alabama versus Oklahoma, you look at Alabama over the last 3 years, 26-1 against the SEC, 26-1. And they won those 26 games by 27.5 points per game. They were 9-0 against SEC competition, won those nine games this year by 29.7 points per game. So I think I go back to that old game against UNLV and Duke. UNLV wants to run up tempo and Duke wants to slow it down. Now Alabama's built that way, in my opinion, to play both styles. They can ground and pound like they did against LSU and Mississippi State. Or they could go up-tempo with Tua or Jalen Hurts at the helm the way they did in the second half against Georgia. But Oklahoma needs to play a perfect game in order to knock off Alabama in that matchup.
I just think it goes right back to what we saw last year with Georgia and Oklahoma. The up-tempo game, you can definitely, because in the SEC, nobody plays as fast as Oklahoma plays. But once you adjust to it, It comes down to winning the line of scrimmage. And SEC teams versus non-SEC teams, they are going to dominate the line of scrimmage. And you'll see, you will see the difference in watching Alabama play against Oklahoma at the line of scrimmage. Offensively, it's going to look different. It's almost like you're watching a pro offense and defensive line play against like some freshmen in college. It's serious. That's the magnitude of what the game comes down to. When you watch the front seven of Alabama's defense and how they're not going to need a safety to stop the run, and you're going to have to do some trickery, and the side-to-side stuff don't work, it becomes hard, and it will be hard. I pray, I'm serious, and I mean this, Kyler Murray, get down. Slide, find this is going to be a very physical game, and they, when you introduce the running quarterback into the Alabama defense, it becomes a full contact sport for the quarterback.
When you look at that game, more now, do you think Lincoln Riley learned from last year in terms of the second half adjustments that he did not make against Kirby Smart with that big lead, 17 points at the half over Georgia?
Yeah, he's a young coach, so I think Lincoln is always learning. I don't know if he's going to have the same situation that he did last year. They had a brilliant first half against Georgia, were in control of that game. And then he did not adjust properly. They collapsed in the second half of that game, eventually lost to Georgia. Now, I don't know if they'll have that luxury. I just think, you know, it's I'm not out on a limb here, but the gap between Alabama's offense and Oklahoma's defense is enormous.
Yes.
I mean, at best, it's going to be a track meet, at best.
Yes.
But Oklahoma has not seen a Quinnen Williams. They have not seen a Deontay Thompson, Mac Wilson, Raekwon Davis, Isaiah Buggs. I mean, to Marshall's point, that is a grown man front seven. They have the speed to go sideline to sideline. They have the size in the trenches.
How many first-round picks do you think is on that front seven?
A lot.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Quinnen's going first round.
There's about five or six.
Raekwon's going first round.
Will go, and I'm talking about like 10 on up, like 1 through 10. That's what, unless something crazy happens, you know, something comes out about those guys. I mean, it's impressive what they continue to do. I mean, I'm changing, but I watch the Washington Redskins. I'm like, those two guys were just in college.
Yeah.
You look at their defense.
Jonathan Isle.
It's unbelievable.
It is. And I guess if you're Oklahoma, you're hanging your hat on Trevor Knight in the Sugar Bowl back in 2014 and saying, yeah, we had a chance. You know, we did do it at one point. We knocked off. And now Bob Stoops was the coach there. But, you know, with an added 4 weeks of preparation, anything could happen.
Yeah. And listen, you know, if you're Oklahoma and you're looking for optimism, what type of a quarterback has given Nick Saban's defenses trouble? And there aren't many, but it's a Deshaun Watson. It's a Johnny Manziel. It's somebody who can RPO it, make plays outside of the pocket. I've said this throughout the week. Yeah. For Oklahoma to have a chance in this game, Kyler Murray has to be Vince Young 2006.
Yeah.
He has to absolutely be otherworldly.
I wish.
Carry this program. That anything less than that, they just don't have the horses to keep up with Alabama.
I wish I could see it. Like, I can't see how Oklahoma wins this game, because all of the games that you think back to when teams would knock off Nick Saban, you got to remember how they played. Ball control, kick field goals. This offense is scoring touchdowns. And they have not one quarterback, but two quarterbacks that can do it. And you have to prepare for almost – I used to say two different systems, but the way that Jalen Hurts looked, how he came in looking like a polished passer, throwing the ball the way he did on the move. Usually the game is just moving too fast for a guy when you hadn't played in a meaningful game. He came in as if he started the game and played like a starter. I was so impressed with that kid. And then and to watch Nick Saban tear up,
yeah,
because the kid went through what's called the process.
Right.
They hired him a quarterback coach. Quarterback coach worked with him all year. We didn't know what he was going to look like. I was like, oh boy, Georgia got him now. This kid came out looked like a quarterback. Looked like Deshaun Watson.
He did.
He looked like Deshaun Watson, to be honest.
No, he was making connections on the move. The one thing I heard throughout the offseason was Tua is going to be the quarterback, but watch Jalen Hurts. He's a different passer. You mentioned the quarterback coach, the time that they spent with him. He looked like a different passer. That was the knock on Jalen Hurts,
yeah,
was he isn't the passer that Tua is. That's why he gave way in the national championship game and didn't start this year. He was phenomenal. And the one thing I learned about Alabama, which we didn't have a chance to learn about in the previous 12 games, they showed how they can handle adversity. Didn't have to in the first 12 games, but they faced adversity against Georgia. So if that comes up in the next two games, they're now battle-tested.
Well, hold on, wait. Are we calling adversity being down?
Yes,
or challenged. Or Georgia just kind of hurt Tua too much that they had to put Hurts in.
Yeah,
because if they don't hurt Tua. Yeah. He was struggling.
Yeah, he was.
That was a tough game. Kirby Smart and the Georgia defense, they had him pegged. They knew where he wanted to go. They got him off the spot. They had him rattled.
Oh yeah.
They scored first.
Yeah.
And that's we said it.
Kirby called a great game.
He did.
I mean, he called a great game, because the one thing we've said all season, let's not forget, we said a lot, this isn't the same Georgia defense as last year. They miss a Roquan Smith. There isn't that elite talent outside of DeAndre Baker, the cornerback. We knocked the Georgia defense as being down a peg from last year, but they did not look like it in the first three quarters against Alabama last week.
I watched that game. Everybody turned their attention to the onside kick, and rightfully so. I didn't think it was the right time to be aggressive at that point. But I go back to this in terms of Georgia's inability to win that game. I go back to when they were up 14 in the fourth quarter and they had an opportunity to kick the field goal and Rodriguez missed the field goal. If you're going to be aggressive with a 14-point lead, in my opinion, I think he should have went for it on fourth and two. The offensive line was playing very well. DeAndre Swift, Elijah Holyfield were starting to wear them down at the point of attack. If you're going to roll the dice inside the 15, if you don't make it, you still put your defense in a positive type of situation. They missed the field goal. Next play, Waddle, big play. They're down by 7, 28-21. That's, in my opinion, what changed the momentum of that ball game.
My play that changed that game, and they're always hitting. And if you pay attention, like it means a lot. And people always think it's a touchdown or something like this. Jake Fromm, he scrambles and he slides early instead of going head first. If he gets this first down, I think that was the next play, they do the fake punt. They get a penalty and then do the fake punt. He scrambled, and if he doesn't slide, I mean, he has room to dive and get the first down, but he slid, and the sliding quarterback not understanding that it's where the slide starts, not where it ends, and he did not get the first down. And yeah. And that one play, it changed, like, momentum. The momentum switch flipped to Alabama immediately. But changing the subject always, I just can't wait to see where they start.
Yeah, I can't.
I want to see which quarterback starts.
Yeah, that'll be intriguing. What's intriguing, too, is you mentioned two of everything. Both quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, they have two of everything, though. You have Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris.
I think there's a Noah's Ark reference in here somewhere.
Najee Harris, yeah. You have Jerry Jeudy, you have Waddle, you have Ruggs, you have Irv Smith. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm curious to know if they started their second teamers. Jalen Hurts at the helm, let's just say. Would they be favored over Oklahoma Kyler Murray?
Five-star guys backing up five-star guys. So it would still be a game.
Yeah, it's intriguing, right?
And they're ready, which is a credit to the coaching staff. You know, there's always turnover not on in the players, but also the personnel.
Right.
You have a new defensive coordinator this year. They're still fine.
Yeah.
Right? Had a new offensive coordinator last year after Lane left. No hiccups.
But can you?
No ego, too.
Can you start Jalen Hurts? Can you? I mean, if I was Nick Saban, I would start the kid. I just would do it just because of what he did and what we've been through.
Yeah. I couldn't argue if they did start Jalen just because he resurrected them. I mean, just the way Tua resurrected them in the overtime in the fourth quarter.
I think it's a nice little question mark or unknown for, you know, Ruffin McNeil and Lincoln Riley to think about. I mean, you know, maybe you have to prepare for two quarterbacks. Yeah. Makes it even tougher.
Controversy entering the college football playoff. Doesn't get better than this. Keep it where it is. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jamie Heath from sportsbrokers.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
On College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. We're breaking down Army, Navy, all the bowl talk, Heisman Trophy. But before we do that, we're joined by Sports Brokers Vice President Jamie Heath. He joins us live on the Celebrity Guest Line. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm great, Joe. Rich and Marshall, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
It doesn't get better than this, huh? One game, major rivalry, Army-Navy. Give us your thoughts about, like, when there's only one game on the board, we have some FCS action, how you take it and how you approach it from the Vegas perspective.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, you're right. You only have one game to focus on today, and we're looking at Army-Navy. Two teams, obviously, you're going to see a lot of running the football with the option. They're mirror images of each other. You know, it's funny, for years I've seen Navy be the stronger of the two in this matchup, and it's always been Army trying to be the ones to break Navy's hearts. This year it's the exact opposite, and for the last 2 years before this, actually, Army's actually won in this series now, so it's pretty much flip-flop. Army's looking at a back-to-back 10-win season, which is incredible. the coach for Army, Jeff Monken's done an unbelievable job with this team. You know, this is the team that almost beat Oklahoma earlier in the season. Their only two losses were to Duke, their very first game of the season, and obviously to Oklahoma and Norman. So you really can't discredit Army at all this year. They've done everything that's been asked of them and then some. So with limited resources, so great all the credit to the world with the coach. And I look forward to this game. I think it's going to be a great game. As far as betting perspective, you know, you're looking at a total that's 40 and a half. Two teams that obviously, like I was mentioning before, love to run the football. I do love a side in this game, obviously. I think there's going to actually be some scoring in this game, believe it or not. I see some scoring. I know the weather's going to be cold. Both teams obviously want to control the football, time-consuming drives. But I see some points in this game. I really do.
It would break trend if it went over, because
yes it would, yeah, without a doubt.
12 consecutive games that Army Navy has gone under.
Wow.
And this
is
40 and a half. How do you approach trends? I mean, different teams, obviously. We're going back 12 years. We know what the philosophies are, what the DNA of these offenses are: grind it out, ball control, milk the clock. But you're thinking over in this game, Jamie.
Well, it's a slight lean towards. I'm not really in love with the total. Again, like you said, Rich, the trend is for the last what'd you say, 12 times, yep, this game has gone under, right? But Navy's defense to me really doesn't impress me whatsoever at all. I really think Army's going to pretty much be able to dominate. Mm. You know, time of possession, I think they'll be able to move the football. But again, Navy's got nothing to lose. This is pretty much their bowl game. They're not going to a bowl this year. So I think they're going to leave it all on the table. They're actually throwing the ball a little bit more than they have in the past. I could see a couple of trick plays here and there, maybe a fake punt. Who knows? You know, both teams, and you got to take into consideration also, both teams do not like to punt the football. They're going to go for it a lot of times on fourth down. If it's fourth down and less than five, you're going to see both of them even going for it on fourth down in their own territory. So that's, you know, if they don't make their fourth downs, it's going to obviously change field of possession. So there might be some short fields and some easier touchdowns, easier ways to score too. So you always got to take that into consideration as well.
Hey, Jamie Marshall here. I'm just wondering, what's if up, you had Marshall? To take a stab at it, like, would you say there'll be 10 passes or less thrown in this game?
It's funny, you know, I was gonna say, what's the over under on passes in this
right.
game? You know, because they both love to run the football. As far as Army's concerned, I would definitely go under. I mean, I don't know what their total for the their absolute total for the game is. If it's five, I would go under on their total, but 10 total, that's exactly the number I would put out. I'm going to actually go over the total on this one, because I think Navy's going to maybe throw up to almost 10 passes themselves in this game.
Wow.
But it's a tough bet. It really, that's a really tough bet.
That would
bet
be a lot for Navy.
It really would.
They
but
may
I
be
honestly
forced to,
think,
though.
I'm just saying, just even when.
I think so too.
Even, I mean, I've watched them down 14. They still run an option. I mean, it doesn't, it does not matter. I mean, they are going to. They like I've seen them down by 20, and they'll play action off the option. Like, who you're really going to run ball on 3rd and 15? Like, yes.
When they're winning their games, they're definitely not going to be throwing the football. Let's put it that way. When they beat Tulsa, I think they had two passes the entire game. So. Wow. You know, you're looking at a situation, though. Again, I think Army should be on top in this game. I really like this squad. So Navy will be probably trying to play catch up. So you might see a couple wrinkles in this game. You might, you know, their last game actually when they played against Tulane and they almost won that game. Navy actually had a couple trick plays where the quarterback actually went out for a pass and he actually caught a pass for a touchdown. So I think there's going to be a couple wrinkles in this game, but don't be surprised if you see some trick plays. I really think this could be a fun game to watch. And obviously it's for the Commander-in-Chief trophy. So there's a lot on the line for these guys.
You know, it would really break trend for like the first quarter of one game, Army or Navy just passes on every down, play actions on
every down. No, they come out in a spread. Like, they come out in four wide like that. That what? That, right. Wouldn't that just blow your mind?
That would. Jamie, we know you've been smoking hot all college football season long. We know that you have a special package today. Tell all the fans what you have in store for them.
Okay, absolutely, Rich. I'm sorry, Joe. Obviously, we have the Army-Navy game, which we really love today, but we're on fire when it comes to college basketball right now. Yesterday, we were all over St. Mary's. It was a huge game for us. Today, there's a huge college basketball slate, some serious rivalry games as well in college basketball. So what we have today, we're giving out three games today, obviously the Army-Navy game, as well as two college basketball games. Give us a call, 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website, join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. We turn outcomes into incomes, and we're very excited about today. Not to mention, we also have a Heisman Trophy award-winning show tonight as well. I can't wait for that as well.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, the favorite now. Tua at +115 last I saw. And Dwayne Haskins off the charts right now. If you want to take a shot, I think he's he's 29-1, I think, to win the Heisman. So we'll see how that plays out.
My money is on Kyler Murray. I think he wins it. We talked about this last week, and I really like his chances, especially considering the fact that Tua didn't really impress in the game last week against Georgia, and Jalen Hurts had to bail them out. Unbelievable performance. It's amazing how one year can turn to the next. Last year it was Tua that bailed out Hurts. This year it was Hurts that bails out Tua. It's incredible how college football is so exciting and all these turns, and it's just incredible watching it. It was what a game last week with that Georgia-Alabama game. You knew that game was going to be a great game, and it didn't disappoint whatsoever. What a fantastic game.
Jamie, when you look at the bowl season, it kicks off on December 15th. We have five bowl games. But just in terms of an approach, a lot of players like Greedy Williams not playing, other players, Jarrett Stidham is on the fence. How do you approach it from a bowl season perspective when you're not sure about whether star players are going to perform in these bowl matchups?
You hit it on the head there, Joe, and it's a great question because certain players obviously don't want to play in their bowls to risk injuries, especially when they're going to get drafted high in the NFL coming up season. So you obviously have to take that into some serious consideration, especially when it comes to skilled players. When you're talking about Stidham with Auburn, that's huge. I mean, when that line came out, I obviously love the SEC, so anytime an SEC team's playing against a team other than an SEC opponent, I always look towards the SEC team. But if Stidham doesn't play, all of a sudden, that's going to create leaning towards the Boilermakers in a game like that, obviously. So you really have to seriously know what's going on days in advance when it comes to this. And it's great as far as a bettor's concerned and a betting perspective, because if you know a couple weeks in advance if a certain player is not going to play, you can take full advantage of lines, because you know very well that the line's going to obviously drop or move up, just on the fact that a certain player is not going to play. So it really does have a very telling effect when it comes to betting on these games.
Jamie, taking a look at the two semifinal playoff games, my initial hunch was I like the favorites. I could see both Alabama and Clemson rolling over Oklahoma and ND respectively. Give me your initial thoughts. I know it's too early to make a pick. There's a lot more analysis that will be done. But what was your sort of first take when it came to those two matchups?
I'm exactly with you on this one, Rich. When these matchups came out, I'm like, wow, I think Notre Dame's in serious trouble as well as Oklahoma. But now as the days have gone on so far since these matchups have come out, and we're already, a week since these matchups have pretty much been presented to us, I'm actually leaning towards the dogs in both of these games. I'm not saying they're both going to win, but I think that both of these games are actually going to be very competitive games. I'm looking at the Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, what could you say? I mean, this offense is just very tough to stop. I know Alabama is fantastic, and they're tough to stop as well. I mean, the total in the game's 80. I wouldn't be surprised if this game is in the 90s. Two offenses that are really unstoppable. Obviously, we know Ruffin's defense with Oklahoma is really, really bad, and we saw it again against Texas. But then again, it's funny because Oklahoma, in their game against West Virginia, they had two defensive scores. In the game against Texas, they came up with a huge safety, which pretty much turned the momentum and the game towards Oklahoma's favor in that game as well. So you got to give a little bit of credit towards their defense lately. Again, they're going against Alabama. We don't know if it's going to be Hurts. We don't know if it's going to be Tua, but we know both of those quarterbacks can definitely get the job done. But don't forget, Kyler Murray on the other side, he's pretty tough to stop as well. So Alabama's going to have their hands full too. I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes down to the wire in that game. I really wouldn't.
When you look at the players as well, Jamie, in terms of, is there one matchup that you key on in terms of these, like, Power Five conferences going up against the others?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, there's a couple of matchups I'm looking at. I'm looking at actually the very first day of the bowls. You mentioned Power Five conferences going up against sort of the big conferences. I'm looking at this Arizona State-Fresno State game. This is an intriguing matchup. Fresno State's actually now a 4.5-point favorite in this game. They went into Boise last week. They did something that they haven't been able to do in quite some time. They beat Boise State there. Now they're playing against the Arizona State team with Herm Edwards. Don't forget, the Pac-12 right now, I think, is one of the most inferior conferences there is in all the bowls, and you're going to probably see it again. Last year, I don't believe the Pac-12 won any of the games. But, again, it's a different coaching system right now with Herm Edwards. Arizona State actually played pretty well this year. They did beat Michigan State earlier in the year. That was a big win for them. I think this is a very intriguing matchup. I have an actual opinion on this game right now. It's one of the games I'm definitely going to be using next week for sure. But, a lot of these Power Five conferences, for instance, Central Florida is a perfect example. One of the teams that I believe was deserving last year, even so more so than this year, to actually go to the playoffs, because last year's team, that was a phenomenal team. Much better, I think, than this year, even though they were undefeated this year, haven't done anything wrong. So it's pretty much like a Super Bowl for a lot of these Power Five conferences. Going up against like an LSU, who really pretty much had it going up until they got demolished by Alabama. So you got to think, you got to say to yourself, you know what? A Power Five conference like Central Florida obviously has a lot to, show the world and the country. Whereas as opposed to LSU, they could take it like, whatever, it's another game. So you always have to take that into consideration, Joe, when it comes to betting on these games as well, too. So the Power Five conferences always seem to be the hungrier out of the non-Power Five conferences, I would say.
Jamie, in the spirit of candor, I enjoy the FCS playoffs. It's a perfect time of the year. We don't have, a big slate of games. Today we have a couple of, actually three playoff games, Maine versus Weber State last night. You can stick to generalities, but what's your general advice to gamblers who, kind of have that itch to have some money on college games today and knowing that there are three games at the FCS level?
Yeah, well, Rich, it's a great question. And, you always have the certain teams that seem to be there just about every year when you're talking about these games. Obviously, North Dakota State's been a powerhouse in these particular games. That's where, obviously, Carson Wentz went to school. And you always see, them winning these type of games. But they're laying a ton of points today to a Colgate team that actually gave Army a little bit of fits 3 weeks ago. So you got to take that into consideration as well. You have Eastern Washington playing on, instead of the blue turf, I believe they play on the red turf in Eastern Washington.
Love that.
And they're, yeah, I love that too. And they're playing against UC Davis. I think that should be, as long as the weather provides some easy throwing, that should be a very entertaining, high-scoring game as well. Eastern Washington's been a very nice team to watch this year as well in the FBS. And then you got Kennesaw State playing at home against South Dakota State, and the road team's actually the favorite in that game. So, yeah, obviously, we're all degenerates, and we love to bet on anything we could possibly bet on. We got three So we got three football games besides the Army-Navy game to focus on today. So, I'm actually leaning towards the dog in that North Dakota State, believe it or not.
As am I.
Normally, I'll tell you what, I'm usually on the home North Dakota State team, but I'm actually leaning towards taking the points in this game.
Well, that Colgate defense, have you watched that defense for Dan Hunt?
Number one in FCS.
Yeah, that's the Patriot League defense, so they haven't faced the same level of competition as North Dakota State, but,
I was
Dan
impressed
Hunt is
with
doing
them against Army.
Yeah, 28-14 was that game.
Yeah, Yeah, it was you know, they held Army to only 14 points in the first half. And, you know, Army's obviously a ball control type team. They keep the defense on the field a long, long time. So like you just said, Rich, their defense has actually been very impressive, Colgate. So I'll take 24 points all day. Let's see what happens. I mean, let's take a shot with that.
At least one Raiders team is doing well this fall.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
It's Jamie, the Colgate Raiders.
Before we head to break, why don't you tell fans the package that you have for them today?
Okay, again, yeah, Joe, we have two college basketball games we absolutely love, not to mention we love a side in this Army-Navy game, absolutely love it. Give us a call. We're going to go 3-0 today. If not, you get the entire bowl package absolutely free on us. Give us a call, 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website. Join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. We turn outcomes into incomes. I can't wait to talk about all the bowls with you guys next week.
Jamie, great information as always. We'll be back in the saddle next Saturday with 5 bowl games on tap. Have a great weekend.
You too, Joe, and Marshall, as well as Rich. Good luck, guys, and have a great day.
Thanks, Jamie.
We're going to get into it, but that red turf, I think it's better than the Boise blue turf. I'm telling you.
You think so?
Yeah, if you can play on maroon, like
I think it's hideous.
Maroon, I love it. I love it. I think it's great. When we come back, we'll be talking about Clemson and Notre Dame, along with which team was deserving to be in the playoff.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Round we go.
That's like hairband day.
Yes.
You know? Well, we have a read here, Joe, so I'm going to have to cut you off.
How long is it?
It's shorter.
Okay,
let's see. The abridged version.
I'm timing you.
Yeah. Folks, you can capitalize on the on-field action at BetDSI with a user-friendly mobile site, web interface, and the fastest payouts in the industry. From the upcoming college football bowl games to the next big soccer match. I think there's a championship in Atlanta, actually, tonight in soccer. You could bet on that as well. They have wagering options for almost any sport you could think of. You could even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Get an edge and utilize live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually any time during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. Utilize your daily fantasy skills without the constraints of salary caps and wager on player props. There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY100 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. And then once you've opened up your account, go to dailyroto.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your BetDSI username, and we will give you 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to all sports, tools, and optimizers. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI today to win on so many levels, Joe. That's promo code FNTSY100 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free at DailyRoto.com. Sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, great deal. I mean, Marshall had you at like 2 minutes and 46 seconds, I think.
That's pretty good.
World record time.
Yeah. Any faster, I would have sounded like one of those...
speed readers.
Not a speed reader. Who are the guys?
Auctioneers?
The auctioneers. Yes. Thank you. I would sound like an auctioneer.
Well,
last week's read, you probably should have did at that speed.
I was actually parched. I was getting a little chapped in
Marshall
the throat.
Marshall had a cut. He had a cut and arrow bet. He was in the corner waiting for you to finish
I thought I heard somebody snoring, and I see Marshall Faulk is snoring out of the corner of my eye.
I could not believe the read. I was like... Wow.
That is long.
That is. We spoke about Alabama and Oklahoma briefly. We'll turn our attention to the big matchup, Clemson and Notre Dame. The one thing that stood out for me when I broke down Clemson briefly, and we're just going to get into it, is that Clemson won their last eight games of the season. Last eight games, guys, by 38.2 points per game. That is no joke. Alabama didn't have a better margin of victory than Clemson had over the last 8 weeks of the season. They're going up against a Notre Dame team that, when I hear the initial rumblings, a lot of people think Clemson's just going to roll. And I think when we spoke about it in terms of the four teams in the playoff, and when I mentioned Oklahoma having to play their, I want to say, pristine type of game, I think Notre Dame fits into the mold because they can run the football. And as long as you can run the football with Dexter Williams, like they did in a more of a blue-collar, methodical type of game in that season-ending victory against USC, I think they can cover this number. Now, winning the ball game might be a different story, but I think Ian Book in this offense has enough to keep it close within the 12 points.
Yeah, I mean, if one of these two games the underdog's going to cover, to me, I think it's clearly Notre Dame. You bring up a great point, Joe, which is running the ball. And we focused a lot on Ian Book, the difference that he made to the offense, and justifiably so. Better quarterback, better game manager than Brandon Wimbush. And Wimbush played his part. He was instrumental in the win over Michigan, but then had to step aside for Ian Book. But Dexter Williams really has been the difference. And as I began to gradually look at this game, and we'll build up a head of steam before December 29th, I don't know if Notre Dame will run the ball. That's the problem that I have. Good offensive line, solid physical offensive line, the flexibility to throw the ball to those big receivers. Alize Mack announced he's going pro. I don't know if he has said if he's going to play in the game yet, though.
I would think.
That would be a new area of concern if playoff players are not playing. That would be something we could talk about. But against a defense that's allowing less than 100 yards per game, with that physical defensive line, with Christian Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Trey Lamar at the second level, I think Notre Dame struggles to run the ball. That'll be their biggest problem.
Yeah, I mean, Marshall, when I look at Dexter Williams, a good back, I don't think he's an elite back in terms of, especially the next level. I mean, you look at Josh Adams with Philadelphia, he's a complimentary back for the most part, but in terms of being that guy to take over or change a game, I just don't see that.
I just think it's tough sledding against Clemson. When it comes down to, Clemson's like an SEC team, if you think about it. They play in the ACC, but they're built to be stout up front, both offense and defensive lines, and they try to stop the run with their front seven. They're not dropping a safety in, so it becomes hard for you to throw the football when you play that type of game. You might pop some runs, and when you look at it, I just think Notre Dame, they're going to have some success. They are. But can you continuously move the football down the field? Game comes down to two things: size, speed. Clemson has both edges. And I have not seen Dabo Sweeney and his coaching staff get out coached. I mean, Nick Saban went to an onside kick and surprised him and got a win there. But I just have not seen Dabo Sweeney get out coached, and that's the only way I think a Notre Dame can beat a Clemson. They have to be out coached. You got to have some answers for some things, because when it comes to bigger, faster, stronger, it all goes to Clemson.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think when you look at Brian Kelly, though, initially got the bowl win over LSU. Ian Book stepped up and led that team to a 21-17 win. A lot of people didn't give them a shot in that ball game against that front seven of LSU, but they were able to match up, make enough plays. Brian Kelly in this spot, a lot of pressure. I mean, he's led his team to a 12-0 record, got blown out by Alabama.
Yeah, going back to 2012.
But now is the time to show why they hired him in South Bend. I mean, for this specific game right here.
I think of the four coaches, I don't know if he has the most pressure. I still think, even though, you know, some people flirted with the idea that this could be a surprise team in 2018, I think he's exceeded expectations. Yeah. I do. I mean, they're a talented football team. You know, you have a Julian Love, you have a Jerry Tillery. You know, he lost two NFL linemen last year. He lost a lot of talent on both sides of the ball.
Too.
Lost Mike Elko as well. And you bring up an interesting point about coordinators. The one thing about Clemson I think about is the word that comes to mind under Dabo Swinney is continuity.
Yeah.
Look at that staff. You know, when you're an elite football team this time of year, you know, sometimes your coaches are being poached either for, you know, a coordinator job or a head coaching job. But Brent Venables still there. Dabo's still there. Both of the co-offensive coordinators still there. Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott. So you're right. This is an SEC program. I used to say that back in the day about Florida State. Florida State was an ACC team that played like an SEC team. Same thing with Clemson. Not any longer. That doesn't apply in 2018.
And the one thing, Marshall, I think when you look at Clemson, they did it in the interior lines. I mean, for years now, for the last 4 years, Clemson's had one of the best offense and defensive lines in terms of continuity, no matter who's playing well at quarterback or under center. But more importantly, too, is that this team's ability to win on the road, is unprecedented. They don't care where they play, and they step up. Now, they didn't get the victory against Alabama last year. They didn't make enough plays in the college football playoff, but they're not going to fear Notre Dame because at the end of the day, they've stepped up against elite teams each and every year and won most of those ball games.
Yeah, when you look at it, Clemson is going into this game with one question, and the question is the quarterback. Like, you don't know. So is this going to be the game that's like too much for him? Like, what's his ceiling?
Right.
And we every time there's a test, he continues to pass the test. And the kid is just like, I mean, he's Cool Hand Luke. Nothing bothers this kid. I'm impressed with what I've seen from a freshman. It has impressed me. Usually, taking over a starting job, having a guy who won as many games as Kelly Bryant did, then transfer. It bothers you. I remember as a freshman taking over for a guy in T.C. Wright who was very productive. We sat in the same meeting room. It was a weird feeling, regardless of what kind of competitor you are. There's just that weird feeling. He seems to not have that. It's as if he went to Clemson knowing that he was going to be playing this year.
Yeah, he's got the hair. He reminds me of Kush from Jerry Maguire.
I was actually thinking of the South. Who was the South Carolina quarterback who had the long locks maybe about 10 years ago? You're our college football encyclopedia. We'll look it up.
Tannehill? Tannehill.
Was it?
I was number 18. And back in the early 90s, they had Brandon Bennett at a running back. Yes. Or you're talking about Ellis.
Now you're just spiking the ball now.
Now
this is excessive celebration.
It looks like a throwback. I mean, you can go all the way back to Kenny Stabler.
You know what's an interesting point about the four quarterbacks in the playoffs? What's the one thing they have in common?
I didn't hear the question.
Well, they're all mobile.
Yeah, they're all mobile, but none of them were full-timers last year.
Right.
Which says a lot about the coaching staffs getting these kids ready. You know, Kyler Murray was Baker Mayfield's backup. Trevor Lawrence was in high school. Ian Book was Brandon Wimbush's backup, right? And Tua was a backup to Jalen Hurts, you know, and really didn't make his name until the national championship. So you really have first-time starting quarterbacks now in the playoffs. And Trevor Lawrence, to me, I think he's unflappable. I don't think it happens. I don't think we see him wilt in any way, shape, or form. And the arm talent that he has displayed for such a young kid, what excites me most of all is we have to. I hate seeing kids leave because we're college football analysts. I hate seeing them leave. They elevate to the NFL. Trevor Lawrence, we have for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, you know, how that game really plays out early on, because in order for Notre Dame to win that matchup, they're going to have to dictate tempo early on. And when you look at Tua, you would think that he should be battle-tested entering this playoff game because of his ability to step up in the national championship game if given the nod. And we know Jalen Hurts already as a freshman led his team to a national championship.
There's just something about what I saw happen in the Georgia game. It was the first real adversity for Tua.
Yeah.
And he was not handling it well.
No.
I'm just telling you, he was not handling it well. The injury, if an injury can help, it helped. I wonder if he had not gotten hurt, would Nick Saban pulled him?
It was
the first time I'd seen him handle adversity. Actually, I was at the LSU-Alabama game early in that game, and LSU was getting after him. I mean, they were laying some hits on him, and the game was close early before it got broken, before they broke the seal and just ran away with it. And I was like, I was watching the kid. He wasn't as sharp. I mean, the receivers made some outstanding catches in that game, and then all of a sudden the run game went wild, and it was over. LSU could not score. The defense just sealed it up. But I just and I wonder with Lawrence if he's going to have that moment. Every quarterback has that moment, and you have to find out when you don't. It's like in golf. You got to find out how to win with your B and C game when your A game not on. And as a quarterback, can you do that? Can you find a way to maybe get a first down or throw a touchdown or manufacture a drive when timing's off? I didn't see that in Tua in that game, and Hurts came in and helped him. I wonder if Lawrence is going to have that. And I wonder all the other quarterbacks, what's going to happen when you hit adversity in a big game?
It's easy too. It's easy when Tua came off the bench. There wasn't a lot expected. You know, they're down. They were down and out. Right?
Who cares?
So he leads them to victory. So he's the savior. But it's a lot different when the bullseye's on your back for a complete season. Now, granted, we know Alabama has top five talent, so much so that they weren't challenged within SEC play at all. 4 touchdowns per game. They were better than every SEC team for the last 3 years. The only games that they struggled in the last couple of years was against Georgia. So this was his real first test again to be under the microscope with the national audience, the chance to win the title. And Marshall's right. He did not step up. And I think Nick would have pulled him. I really do, because Nick knows, let's be honest, he wants that 7th national championship more than anybody. He wants to cement himself as the creme de la creme. So if the title was on the line, I think he would have pulled him. I really do.
Well, I mean, listen, he had the wherewithal and the guts to do it in the national championship with a true freshman quarterback.
He didn't have a chance.
A lot less risky. I think he would have done it because Jalen Hurts has proven it before. You know, and this was the SEC title game, a lot less at stake because let's face it, if they lose that game, they're still in the playoffs. Not to say he wanted to, but Alabama still is in if they lose to Georgia last weekend.
I love Nick. I love to give him all the credit for the moves that he makes. And I mean, they're obvious moves. Your quarterback is not moving the football last year in the national championship game. And you have this 5-star kid who can sling the ball. And it was obvious receivers that were open and Hurts were missing them early. What do you do? You put the kid in.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, that's what Brian Daboll was doing with. That's why they have him here. Okay. Now I recognize this offense. Ball's coming out. And if there's one thing that I love about the kid is there's no hesitation. Back foot, his drop is 1-2-3 out. 1-2-3-4-5 out. Ball's coming out. And he remains, before he starts to run, he remains a passer as long as he can. I think last year's move was easier. It was easier. You were down. You didn't have a choice. This year, kid actually got hurt. You had to make the move. Right, and we watch. I mean, yeah, he was bailed into, like he was forced into putting Jalen Hurts in because I don't know. I don't know if Nick wanted to be proven wrong that Hurts can play at this level and continue to win games. So as good as we say, great. You actually just proved that you just called a bad game last year and you pulled him. And now the kid has to ride the bench the rest of the season instead of playing because he had a bad game.
Yeah, it's incredible because if you're asking me at the quarterback position in college and the pro, I want a guy that's mobile. I want a guy that can avoid the rush, especially. Yeah. So that
are you saying you're tired of Eli Manning? Is that what you're trying to
I'm
say?
I'm a Dolphin fan. I'm tired of Tannehill.
Well, you have a mobile quarterback.
I don't know. We can get into that off script.
He's too mobile.
Too mobile. Yes, he was a former wide receiver at A&M. But when we come back, we'll be talking about the great debate. Keep it where it is.